Blog Talk Radio.
And I just bless God on today. Amen and amen. I'm so sorry, you guys. I had some of you on mute, but now you can hear me on Blog Talk Radio. Amen, amen. Amen. So, okay, so we're going to get started. My mother, well, actually, was my youngest sister, said, no, you need to let your assistant and your mother read her bio, because you ain't messing this up. So on this morning, my mom is going to come in, and she's going to read Yolanda's bio. So just waiting for her to come on in here. Mom, press one, and I'll bring you in so you can read her bio so we can get started. I'm just so super excited. One moment. Mom, are you on?
Good morning. Yes,
oh,
I am.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Okay. Are we ready?
We ready. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good morning, Yolanda Barnes. Good morning. We're happy to have you on with us on this morning. We're very excited to have you. So Yolanda's bio starts out with, I was born in Chicago Heights, Illinois. I spent most of my life in that state. I had three sons and a daughter that are all grown and thriving, thanks to the goodness of the Lord. I am also a proud grandmother, 13, and one great-grandson. She says, I'm a 60s baby, and 1960 to be exact. I accepted Christ as a child, but was called to a greater relationship with Christ when I was 20 years old. I was married at the time, and my life was transformed. The Holy Spirit began to open numerous creative doors for me as I raised my family. I ran a dressmaking business, cake decorating business, and once my children were older, I transitioned to corporate life where I spent 20 years and retired. The Lord allowed me to be promoted to various senior leadership positions and with AT&T, and I was able to travel abroad to support the business as well. Shortly before retired from AT&T, I had to file for divorce after 36 years of marriage. I was reluctant to do so, but the abuse and oppressiveness had taken a toll. As a result, I relocated to a new life in Louisiana. While here, the Lord has awakened my artistic side, and I am now a visual artist. I have also written two books, My Story, His Story, and Zion the Great. Both are available on Amazon. In recent years, I was able to transition into serving on the worship team at my local church and mentoring young women. I also work as an IT tech for now, with a smiley face. I endeavor to continue to coach and mentor both women, both spiritually and professionally, as especially those that are considered marginalized and suffered from domestic abuse. I am also mm-hmm. working with a book of poetry and help book for those suddenly going through divorce. This is Yolanda Barnes, and God bless you, and may you enjoy our show on today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mom, so much. That was so beautiful. Oh, my God. Yes, you are just doing it, and I am just so just godly proud of you, and most of all, just God's glow just all on you, and I am just so happy that you joined me on this morning. So, without further ado, you know, if whatever you would like to share with us in terms of your testimony, you could just go ahead and we could just chime in together. Go ahead.
Wanda, I'm so grateful for you and just the way the Lord put all of it's Him.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I want to thank your mom for reading that bio.
Amen.
On my behalf. And I thank God for you and the
ministry
opportunity. And thank God for all the women.
Yes.
That join, or women and men. And I pray that bless from my testimony. I never even thought that it would care. As a summary, I was married. I got married very young, 6 years old when I got married. I was pregnant right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, if you were married and you had a baby, so when my old, I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And to my high school sweetheart at the time, honestly. And so I thought about him or plan behind who we got married, you know,
mm-hmm.
since I was married,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so there were, I want to say, misogynistic behaviors that were just inbuilt, you know, thought in my home,
mm-hmm.
At times that even with my own father normalized,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't even think was abuse, you know. And I went through, I had a scholarship, by the way, to go to Jackson State Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to forego that because I had my son. They didn't paid up for that. So I just went headlong and began to raise my family with my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And as I began to grow in the Lord, when I got saved, the Lord educated me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On his word, but also my spirit, the principle, keep my spirit that I wasn't necessarily hearing, doubt. Idea, strategy, and I just started journaling a lot. And so I progressed. That wasn't quite popular in my relationship.
Okay.
but I would have a setback, and then I would come up with a strategy. Lord help me, I would advance. And so the Lord began to give me strategies, and what I found out was that relationship, it does not negate your calling and what God has called. And I felt like where everything had to do with what my husband was doing,
mm-hmm.
But the Lord was very clear
mm-hmm.
about his will, and I had to follow his voice.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I went throughout the years. I dealt with a lot of things. I'm not saying I was perfect,
mm-hmm.
but I dealt with it the best I could. People to turn to because everybody seemed to be dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
One just, you know, my mother was old school. She was like, well, I dealt with, so she stayed there until the day she left here.
Yeah.
You know, and so I didn't understand the pain. I didn't understand the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so what began to advance me and began to bless me.
Mm-hmm.
Things began to get worse. But I can see that I actually was trying to help cover things up because I didn't want to have to. I didn't know what it looked like to be apart from it.
Yes.
So I covered a lot of things up, smooth things over.
Mm-hmm.
What everything he did, look the job up for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can honestly say that just about every job that my husband got.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I'm a push. That's what we do. We push.
We push. That's what women do. Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, my mother said, when I was in Yolanda, that she cleaned up anybody else.
Wow.
And I was like, what? She cleaned up anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And I had that tendency that, what it is that I think I need, but you know what? I can pop that up. You know, so, so I bought the grass, and especially, I've always been an entrepreneur with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to sit there. This came to me this little time that let me know that, you know what, well, this is bad. I'm bad. I would say maybe we were married about 15 years at the time, and I had when I lived in Texas, Illinois, and so people that know me,
mm-hmm.
And some of the sounds maybe choppy, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But me, knew me as a seamstress.
Okay.
And so my business, and at the time, my ex-husband was giving me ideas that he wanted things in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was clear on things that I felt old for my sewing business.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted me to make neckties or something.
Okay.
I believe what with a C, I'm a designer, and I say going this way, and I, for someone for a factory in town, the person that made you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But so practice on all these uniforms.
Okay.
I was in my sewing room, and all the I thought that the power was out for everyone, and I walked out of my sewing room, and
mm-hmm.
the lights were on in the rest of the house.
Wow.
So I thought, maybe I'll just go and check the breakers.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, went to the basement, and there was a padlock on the, so that I could not turn the power.
Oh, my goodness.
In my sewing room.
Woo!
And so when I saw that padlock, my heart just dropped. And I realized, so because I didn't do what you want to go this far,
mm-hmm.
cycle me to the point where I had a big deadline to meet.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I went to cut me off.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I had no control. And so I actually remember that incident so clearly. I actually got in my van. I drove and left for the weekend because I couldn't take it.
Yeah,
that was the first time ever. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I made some decisions. He never apologized, but everything just went back to normal. There was really no stress.
Yeah.
So I took that pack lot and I put it where I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a vow to myself, don't you forget that. Not that, and you know, really, I'm talking about not forgetting.
Yes.
And I looked at that, said, if things could destroy, willing to get in the way of my day clock on the breaker box so I can't have air conditioning and all of this is a bigger problem than I knew it was a problem, but so I used that padlock and I didn't get divorced for another 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing that means now we went on and on. Things did not get better, but I did.
Amen. I just wanted to put up pause just right there, Yolanda, in terms of the one thing I wanted to just shed some light on is that normally the oppressor is the one with the problem and all the insecurities. And sometimes as women, and even if it's some men in that situation with maybe their spouse or whatever relationship they in, maybe the oppressor them, sometimes it causes you to think like, is it me? Is it something that I'm doing? And that just, you should shed a light on some things that have happened to me and my toxic marriage and my ex-husband when he cut the water off on me and my children. So we couldn't bathe, you know, so he put an actual lock on the tank. So the hot water, so only thing was running was cold, you know, and I'm saying to myself, how could you do that? I got babies here. None of us could, we can't wash in cold water. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, but and then in terms of stopping, I remember it was times when I also wanted to go and I just love, like, you know, giving to the homeless and, you know, just giving my time to people who are in need. And those doors were shut. Me running a homeless transitional housing for women and children. It's like every door that I tried to go through was shut. No, I couldn't do it, and actually, you know, told me I could not leave the house and do no kind of work like that. So, but I just want to say to you, delay but not deny, because, and for those who are listening, the enemy can't stop you. I don't care if it's your coworker. I don't care if it's your parents, your community. Don't allow somebody to stifle you. Even when they try to throw monkey wrenches in there, you keep on going. Just know that God is the one. It ain't over till God says that it's over. But sometimes when you in that space of the oppressor just beating you down so much, it's like, Lord, what do I do? Because right now I just feel like I'm helpless. So how do I bathe my babies? How do I continue to sew and do the work that I know I'm getting to do? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
To deny someone a necessity. You know, and it is the enemy behind that.
Yeah.
The devil. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say as well that things have happened progressively, but each time I made a decision.
Yeah.
Said, okay, I was turning, like I need to do something. I didn't even have grades. The Lord began to be the thing that I'm going to help you with, is you have to make these decisions. I had to learn how to put my emotional head.
Okay.
And that's how the Lord dealt with me. Put on.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to start thinking. And how did you deal with that? How did you get out of that situation when they turned the water off?
Well, when you turned the water off, how I got out, I think that was my breaking point. And I started having anxiety. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then what really happened, what really got to me the most was when my daughter looked up at me, but she couldn't form words like, how come there's no hot water coming out? And she looked up at me, and I said, it's okay, baby. You know, wiped her hands, went on downstairs. Then I began to do the dishes. And then that's when I had a whole panic attack, because I'm saying, wait a minute. So you go in the morning, you get up, turn the hot water on for yourself. And when you leave, it's just enough in reserve tank for us. So what about their baths? And we had to live like that all day. So that was a breaking point. And when I started hyperventilating, couldn't catch my breath at that kitchen sink, I said, this is it for me. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, like, I love marriage, you know. I'm looking for God to send me somebody. You know, I'm a lot older, wiser. And another thing, I love me more than the fact of being married, more than the fact of the image of saying this is my husband. And when you get to that point where you start loving yourself like that, so that was a breaking point. That's when how I wrote my book, Shattered But Not Broken. It wasn't about him. It was about my healing, you know, and how God restored me. But that was a breaking point for me. So that morning, that next day, and it's something funny how you said I did not leave, and I didn't either, because, you know, coming up in that culture of, you know, whatever stays in the house, whatever happens, house stays in the house. But I think at that point in my marriage, we was coming out of that type of way of thinking. The world was kind of evolving away off that kind of thinking. So I'm like, but still, me as a Christian woman, I felt like, oh, my gosh, God going to punish me if I leave. He going to punish me. And I said, that's the trick of the enemy. Why would God punish you? Because you don't want to be abused anymore. That don't make no sense. But my mind was so cloudy at the time. So I made a conscious decision when that happened. I remember one day the kids was in the room playing. I felt like I was going to lose my mind. And I said, Lord, when you come in this house, I know I'm going to be gone. I went and checked on the kids, and I went into the bathroom. When I opened up the Bible, the first eyes was laid on was leave this rebellious house. Now, everybody's story is different the way how God communicates with everybody. I know God don't sit up in heaven and say, I'm going to break this marriage. No, he's a lover. You know, that's why the topic is foolish to think that I can be loved, because as a little girl, you know, we dream about a big wedding, married to the perfect guy. Of course, you're going to have your ups and downs, but all of that was shattered. All of that was crushed. So I had to get out of that. The little girl in me, the chapter that I wrote, you know, wanted that so bad, the thought of being married, and that was my problem. I heard God when he said, you didn't ask me what the time, and I totally ignored the voice of the Lord. So that morning when God laid my eyes on that, whoo, I was out. I was out. Was I broken? Oh, yes, I was. And I feel like there were so many pieces. God, I know you a healer, but you could really put this body back together again, my mind, my spirit, me just being crushed. And on top of that, I still had to be the evangelist in the church. I still had to be the minister in the church. Yes. And my spiritual leader said, your call is higher than your circumstance. So I said, okay. So that meant get back in the work. Keep on living for God and keep on being used by God. And in the midst of that, I began to, and you said something about thinking sometimes you may feel like you're the only one in it. Come to find out a lot of people is going through it. So as I began to minister, I realized there were so many people in a broken relationship. No, my thing is not to tear your marriage up, because I'm not into that. So, and actually marriages have been restored because they have gone to counseling. I suggested go to counseling, and God worked it out. They had babies and everything afterwards. But for me, my story was it just didn't work for me. But it's okay, because God mend those broken pieces back. So that was my breaking point, when that hot water was off, because there was so many different things that have happened jumping in my face. I said, Lord, now he getting ready to be beating on me. He already verbal abusing on me. I'm not attracted to you. You know, I don't want you. I don't love you. And I'm like, but God loves me. He loves me. Well, you can gravitate on God loving you. Whew.
Yeah. Something about as far as feeling, I'm thinking, you know, we used to sing the song, yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes.
Because the Bible, you know, I didn't believe that.
Wow.
I didn't believe that he loved me, because I didn't feel love. I didn't know, number one, how to love myself. And I didn't know that his love was for me to also take care of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was, when you being about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, let him go to school. You say that. Okay. So I did that.
Yeah.
And no one can say that I did not try.
Yes. Yeah.
Mhm. So, I mean, love. Some people are what I call covert. They may not put marks on you. They may not abuse you, but there's neglect.
Yeah.
And some women, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You're not, you have marks on your face.
Yes.
It does. When you come out of your house, you look good. Nobody can tell.
No.
Going on day to day to day.
Say that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You walk up. You they don't compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Love from you intentionally.
Yes.
As punishment.
Yes.
As a form of control. Day in and day out. I have so many books. The one book I had was How to Live That Book.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many books.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what to do, but then I realized if someone is consistently angry all the time, that there's the Holy Spirit has to deal with that,
mm-hmm.
that anger. where you can't even come to the point even say, I didn't like that. Because there was that intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, were you scared? No, I was being wise because I needed to get out of that situation and I didn't know how.
Yeah.
You know, and I needed to get out alive.
Yes.
And look out the outside and judge and I've lost family, kindness, but I'm alive.
Yes, amen.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Sandy, but I had to take care of me.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And some loved me.
Mhm.
So I didn't know what that love looked like. I didn't know what it meant to say he was. I didn't know it meant that I didn't have to let someone almost kill me to be accepted.
Yeah.
That's not love. I had to, you know, sit in church that everything was okay and listen to someone say on the pulpit, oh, as soon as I get in the car, it's a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's yelling and screaming, you didn't do this and you didn't do that.
Mm-hmm,
and just constantly. And no, I didn't really tell people. I didn't know whether they would believe it. And I'm
yes.
Once I finally did it, the people that believed it in the church.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in the church. But so I wanted to be that person that began to live if they were hurting. Listen to your sisters
mm-hmm.
when they say they're hurting.
Yeah.
When they say, look at burn them.
Yeah.
Because things may not be what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true because when you said that you may not see physical marks, and I was to one of my friends, Dr. Sills, on yesterday, and I said, you know, I said, I never made anybody feel like they wasn't relevant or their story or whatever they was going through is not relevant because it is. And I see you because you don't have marks in your face. And maybe your story is not as worse as somebody else's story, but that doesn't mean that you don't have a story. That doesn't mean that you're not being abused. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're being mentally abused. So sometimes you can get to a place where you feel like I'm not going to share with nobody. First of all, they won't believe me because it's what they see. But I think when I saw dwindling, not even looking like myself, not even looking like who I was anymore, people started to take a look, and then they would see different actions that they would do. You know, like, that don't look right, you know. But I felt like with anybody, and I didn't even want to, and this is another crazy thing I was saying to myself, I don't want people to think that God can't heal this marriage. First of all, says you can't protect God because you don't know how God is going to use you in this situation. First of all, you were disobedient. So how are you thinking for God? I don't want people to think that God can't. Are you serious? I mean, my mind, you talk about playing tricks. Oh, my God. When I tell you that devil, he thought he had a field day with his mind. But, honey, let me tell you, when God started healing me, waking me up. He was waking me up by me sitting at the chair looking at the sunshine so bright, which was like quick in my spirit, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? He would show up and pop up in all kind of ways. And every time he came charging towards me with his fist, it was a phone right there. Put that phone up, call the cops. Because I'm like, look, I ain't going to be sitting around while you hammer on me. And it seemed like we had 20 phones in the house. We did not have 20 phones. But let me tell you about God and his miracles. Everywhere, every time he charged at me, there was a phone. I could be sitting in the middle of the floor, there was a phone on the wall. When I tell you, God is a healer. Woo, Jesus. So I'm just saying, like, it's so crazy. And then I start praying for his mind, even though I knew that, girl, if you say, you're gonna die up in here. You're gonna die. And sometimes we feel like, oh my God, we're gonna die physically. No, we're dying spiritually. For me, it was both. I was gonna, I'll be dead physically and also spiritually because I knew that that abuse was climbing. It was getting heat because he was not satisfied with his own self. He had a lot of insecurities I didn't know about prior to. But when I tell you, so don't think that those who are listening that you're the only one that may be going through it. Even don't even have to be a relationship. They can just be life throw it through you a curveball that makes you feel like, oh my God, am I worth it? Make you feel like I just don't have no value. You have value and you are worth it. You are worth it. I don't care how they treat you in your job. You are worth it. You are a diamond. You stand out. The community, I don't care how they may look at you. No, you pick up your bootstraps like your grandmama told you, and you keep on moving, and you keep working that thing out. So I am just, oh, my gosh, no, you're not the only one going through things. And I thought I was, but when I start opening up my mouth, and there were some people that looked at me like you're crazy. That's your thing. You can look at me all day long, but I know how I feel right now. And let me tell you, I came to church with mixed match shirts on, skirts. Look, I didn't care how they looked at me. I just know I needed this. Like, Hannah, oh, my God, I'm so drunk in the spirit. Lord, help me. Yes.
Marriage. I moved into my dream home. Get a divorce, and it got so painful, and I will say dangerous. That I had no choice. I had to say, you know what? I don't know. I need to be alive at the end of the day. I don't like the way things are. I don't feel comfortable with things that I'm seeing. And I think that and things were getting progressively worse.
Mm-hmm.
As far as any time you don't talk at all. Then when you get out of church, they're talking to you. You hate it. To me. And I verbalized that. I said, like, hate. I feel bad to say also. The manipulative spirit. Someone is a manipulative person. They have an ability, and I don't think it's a God given to convince people things that they would not normally discern. So the spirit of discernment is in these situations that you can tell. You can actually begin to listen to the voice of God while losing their lives. They don't believe that this person would ever, not that person, do that. That is the spirit of manipulation that is going on. And it's my position. Instead of saying, well, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the not that they need to get into everybody else's business, but he needs to have more discerning to people that are being abused, and realize that there will stare on your eyes. Hey, I didn't do that. I would never do that. Oh no, they were like, that person would do that.
Yeah,
but behind closed doors, they would do that and even worse. That's my. I'm going to say, this is my experience, that the person that I live with at home that presented outside, and I said I did not feel safe.
Yeah.
So God gives you the strategy to not worry about, even in this space, social media, outside.
Yeah.
And I thank God for it. I praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are times when you can't be worried about what people think.
Yeah,
we talked about saving your life.
Take care of it. Because everything is about how it looks today. How it look if I leave? How it look if I, you know? How will it look if you visited me at my funeral? How would that look? You know, how would that look me laying before you? For those who said, "Oh my God," you know, you just gotta say, you know, "Oh my God," and get killed. Like, really? Just to save face and say, "Oh my God, I stayed to the end." No, I know. I've done everything I could possibly do, and that thing was not going to change. I knew it was not. I done prayed. I done fasted.
Right.
And you know, when you connected with God, you know when he's speaking to you. And I'm like, you know what? Let me tell you, right now I'm running for my life because I can't even sleep at night. I'm praying, God, protect me and my kids. I don't know what he's going to do. But to other folk, oh, no, that's not like him. I had somebody came to visit me one day, and I said to them, you don't live here. You're not in this house. You know, so don't come to me telling me what I should do because you don't live here. You listening to him. No, you know, no, don't. So I feel you on that when you're landing. Don't come to me with some crazy stuff because you don't live here. And right now I am fearful of my life, you know, and I shut down I didn't tell my mother. I didn't tell my father because my father would have been down there. I didn't tell my sisters. I didn't tell nobody what was going on. And my mother just looked at me and was like, you know, I know something is going on, but I just didn't want to tell it. I did not want to tell it. You know, I just didn't want to tell it. And it's not that I felt like they didn't believe me. I know my family would have. Other folk, no, they would not have. Because it's what the perception of what they see when you're out. But I just want to encourage you all that God sees and hears you. And journal. Find a journal. I don't care if you go to the Rite Aid or the CVS and get a 99-cent book. Start journaling. Journaling how you feel, because I began to journal every day, the time, the date, all of my feelings, everything that was going on. Because if you can't tell somebody, you got to get it out. Another thing, there's nothing wrong with therapy. People make you feel like, oh, you're crazy if you go to therapy. No, you're just going to somebody that they people have been doing that for years, and you're talking some things out, talking some things out.
Right.
You know, I prayed, and I asked God, Lord, what should I do? Because I don't know at this point for years. And I'm just saying, don't give up because you may not see change. But I knew was no change going to come. I knew for that situation there, maybe they changed after me, but I knew while I was there, nobody was changing because I was getting ready to be in somebody's coffin. And I bind that up in the name of Jesus because I knew it ain't over until God says it's over. I know that he was not finished with me. And I ran for my life. I took off after some time because it just got that bad for me. And I didn't share that with nobody, you know, when it really got that bad.
You know, which is probably why people didn't believe it.
Okay.
Because I did the things that I was seeing, that the Lord said, I even had premonitions. I tried to do things to let people know I'm in trouble.
Okay.
One specific time we had gone on vacation, and one thing about this personality, they say narcissistic, their pattern, they will mess up their paint. Everything's gonna be miserable. But so we burglarized. An argument broke out over there, and I didn't feel safe. So that thing began to happen where we were on vacation. I think he wasn't talking to me or anything. I had done something bad. Things stopped. I can't even remember what it was. And I felt it. I was thinking it really happened. And so everything shifted. He began to, he said, you say this and that. I thought, what did I do now?
Yeah.
And so for the last few days, I did not feel safe. So we didn't talk the last few days in this vacation. And I had, I had some medication for motion sickness. And he asked me, he said, where is it? I said, he said, my bag. Get here. And I said, I'm just feeling it. I said, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And he picked my purse up, and he dumped everything out and went through and grabbed it. And I started, showed me it wasn't going to end well. The ending of it. And when I saw the ending of it, it wasn't good being alive.
Yeah.
And when I went to move, when I saw it, I sat back on the bed. And all I said was, why did you do that bed?
Yeah.
And we packed up, we left. I had these heavy bags. We didn't go all these bags down. And we didn't speak.
Okay.
All the way home. When I got home, I shaved my head. And went sitting there, and I'm trying to let people know something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. Feel safe. I was trying to let the members know. I was trying to let my children know
something's
wrong. Why would I shave my head?
Yes.
As a black and come to church without a window?
Yes. You was crying out, yes, somebody help me. Yes.
Y'all, I am bald.
Yes.
I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then eventually, even after some other things. But the Lord out of that situation, but I was crying out, trying to let people know, problem, but I don't know how to tell you. I'm doing things, and I'm just, do y'all see something dramatic is happening?
Yes.
But I couldn't tell them, threatening me, hurting me, gonna be using me.
All
the time. And when they're around, done. So, you know, someone said, well, you know, I'm gonna tell her that.
I tell you, let me tell you, when God show up in a mighty way like that on the trip away from home, where you feel like, oh my gosh, this may not end well, you know, let me just be quiet, not feel, don't let even say anything, nothing, you know, did you get like a reaction from anyone at church in terms of like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Isn't that something? You know,
a look.
Of
course. It was, you know, maybe curiosity, but no one commented, and even as I, the church, I love them. But no one really reached out to me. They were like, you need to come back here. No, I'm not coming back. No one is saying, hey. I mean, I poured in to them. I prayed for them. I worked for them. And I love them. For those who today. And I still love them today.
Yeah.
But they kind.
Yeah.
That what was going on, but no one said anything.
Yeah, that's something. And you know, another thing, what I love when you said you was going to worship service or rehearse or something, and I was just rejoicing in my spirit. For one, because sometimes when we come out of being broken and things happen to us and right there within the church and sometimes not receiving the love that we feel that we should have received or we should have received, sometimes people become bitter. You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I didn't go through that either. I didn't go through the bitterness part of, God, I'm so upset with you. No, I was saying, God, forgive me, you know, because of my disobedience. But on top of that, I didn't come out bitter, like, but you know, I really understand the bitter woman who says, this is it for me, no more relationships. No, I do understand that woman, but I chose not to be that woman because I know God is a healer. I know he's a restorer, and I didn't want to live a bitter life like that. So I forgave him, and I moved on from there. But it was a process. That didn't happen overnight. It was a process of me forgiving him. And I remember I seen a Tina Turner story one day, and I said, oh, my God, Mom, it just happened like that for her. She got her joy back, and she says, no. She said, that was a movie, and they had to condense it, you know. But, no, it was a process for Tina Turner, you know, for her to get her joy back, for her to feel like she was restored. And I said, you know, so it was a process for me. But I was reading somebody's trying to read somebody's comments up there who said about God has a plan for your life, you know. My eyes is not the greatest, but yeah. I wanted to say that but I, in terms of, you know, God just restoring, he's a restorer, you know, and God is right there with you. Even when you feel like there's nobody else to understand, God understands. In the middle of the night, I knew that he had me because I could feel him, even in my brokenness, even when I felt like my mind was leaving, because, yeah, I know somewhere it looked like I had a breakdown because it was, you know, but, you know, it's like, who report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord, and that report is my healing. That report is my being restored. Restoration is coming my way. So, and even when I couldn't feel it, I believed it, because that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I knew God was going to heal me. Even though I said, Lord, all these broken pieces, how, God, I know you can, but mend me back together again, God. But he did. He's a restorer. But it was a process for me. It was really a process. And you know, it took a while, but I was willing to stay in it and do the work and trust and believe God, you know. And I, you know, commend those who are married and was able and separated and was able to get back together. I think that is beautiful when it can work for you. I just rejoice over marriage. I love marriage. Yeah. It didn't work out for me, but I know the second time around, oh, it's going to work because I love me more than the fact and the image of being married and saying my husband. I love me. Oh, my God, yes, but don't feel like you alone in this thing. I don't care if it's not a relationship and you on your job and you feel like you're worthless. Everybody else is being promoted over top of you. No, you have so much value in you. You have so much value in you. Amen. So don't think that you don't. And don't remove that bitterness from your heart if you're angry towards God, because God loves you so much.
Yeah.
You know, some things happen to us and we have no control over it. But, you know, things happen, but when it happens, you know, say, God, help me to come from this place, and I want to be back again, to feel like me again, and fix this situation, God. He's a fixer, and he does fix marriages, y'all. Uh-huh. He does fix it. You know, my parents was married for 52 years. He does fix it and restore it. In the midst of the marriage, he will restore it. But some, it may not have worked out, but it's not over for you. It's not over for you. Man or woman, it's not over for you. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes, another thing, you wanted to ask something, Yolanda, because I wanted to ask you something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just really quickly, as far as not learning about myself, is that I didn't have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have an identity.
Okay.
It's individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you think you are? You just could.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Was, I was going to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept waiting on God to come and break down the door and tell me he never did.
I dealt with that
for about a year. And as I progressed into the church, I said, well, I'm just going to lay back, you know. So I want you to get up and audition for the worship team. And I did it.
Okay.
And so the Lord has blessed me to be a part here. And it literally has saved my life.
Yes.
Saved my life. It's given me a way out.
Thank you, Father.
You know, and so I didn't know I had a right to be a me. I just knew that I was on autopilot. You on Sunday. I knew what to do on Monday, Friday, Saturday. Everything was patterned, and I was in a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
I was being controlled and manipulated. And then I didn't know what to do, but then the Lord began to show me my identity in him.
Yes,
and
that's it right there.
That's an
idea.
But he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves me. And I do have things that I'm worthy. I have worth, you know. And so any time, I just want to spread that you may not see yourself when you're in a marriage. You may not see yourself apart from that. People leave there every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to deal with the fact that God loves you as an individual.
Yeah.
We have to stand before him alone. Nobody. My grandmother said everybody, which means there's only people not going to be with me when I go to God. That is what he thinks
of me. Yeah.
What his word says.
Individuality, your own person. Hi, Bernadette. She was saying that God has the plans for you. God has plans for your life. Amen. And it's something how when I love when you said about your identity, you know, what is your identity through him? What is your identity through God? I wanted to bring up Hannah for a minute when Hannah went to the altar at Shiloh and how she began to pray. She, even though Penina, the enemy, provoked her sore. I mean, she provoked Hannah all day long, but Hannah was like, look, I'm sold out for God. I'm going to this altar and I'm praying for him. And even when a man of God accused her of being drunk, she didn't lay him out. She didn't cuss him out. No, she said, a man of God, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. But guess what? She did not get off her focus and off track. And even though her husband said, you know, I have more, I can give you more than 10 sons. But her, in her mind, it was like, it's not about what you can give me. And she had the sweet of Elkanah was so sweet. But it wasn't about what he could give her. It was about her on the inside, being an individual person, what she wanted from God, what God had her within her. Her own individual person outside of who her husband was, outside of who everybody else was, who was Hannah, you know? So I'm glad that you said that your own individual person, like God, because like your grandma said, when you go before the Lord, ain't nobody standing with you but you. Nobody's beside you but you. So you got to give account for everything on your own. So I love that, because sometimes we can get so caught up in everybody's world. We get caught up in our children's world, our society's world, our job world. But who am I on the inside? And you had to get all of that back. Who was Yolanda? I had to get Wanda back. Who was I? You know, because only thing I do right now, I'm a wife, I'm a mom. Yeah. What can I do? Because everything I tried to do, just tried to snatch it. But let me tell you, everything that God, that the devil meant for bad, God meant for his good. And everything that you have lost on here, you, Yolanda, everything, you will get it back triple-fold. Trust and believe. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah, when I tell you. But you got to put the work in. My dad always say, you know, you take two steps, God's going to take 10. You got to put the work in them. You got to work at your own soul salvation. You got to put the work in. And in the midst of all of that, because I know we can come to a close, you have, you are a beautiful artist. I want to tell everybody where you can get your books and your artwork. Just,
Oh, wow. Awesome. We'll have them on Amazon. So the first book is under my story, and then the second book, well, both of them are under Yolanda Cosette. Excuse me. The second book is a children's book called I Am the Granddaughter, who has our teacher. And the key to trees, her name is Zion. And so I wrote a book for her. It's called Zion the Great.
Awesome.
So that's been a real blessing. And then as far as my art, I just started painting 9 or 10 years ago. That's what the Lord just introduced in my life. And once I started, you know, expressing myself through that. So I have a lot on my Instagram. You can go to my Yolanda Barnes, or you can DM me about if you want a commission. I do ask. My subject matter is mostly African American females. I just love expressing abstract work as well.
That is so awesome. And also, I'm going to put all Yolanda's information down in the chat. You can go back in a few minutes after the broadcast is over, and I'll put all of her handles in there where you can see her beautiful work. If you want to see, go to my store. That's hopevictorian.com. www.hopevictorians.com. Amen. Could you read some of the comments, Yolanda? Can you see some?
I can. I'm looking at church folks will turn their heads from other people's issues. How can they not add to the store? He brought both of you through. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift. That's, I grew up in the church, like there was a pastor. So, but the Lord will show you that you have to depend on him.
Yeah, you do. You have to. You have to depend on him, and you can't get caught up, because my mom always said to me, she said, church people are human. Because I used to be so upset sometimes, like, you know, and she said, they are human, just like you're human. Pastors are human. People in the congregation are human, you know. And I said, you know what, Mom, you're absolutely right. So I stopped going, caring about how they felt, and it was about how I felt. So even if you should have been looking at me like I'm crazy, it's okay, because God called us to worship together. Forsake not the assembly. He called us to come to worship all together. So, yes, I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm not angry with you. You're angry with yourself, and you have major issues. So when I got past people and how they felt and what they said and how they looked at me, because if not, they sit there worshiping God and having a good time, and I'm home, you know, just sitting back. No, I'm in this service. I'm in this house. Oh, yes, I am. I'm in this house. I'm worshiping you. So I'm not going to, because those are trick of the enemies to get you off focus. Oh, my God, look at the people in the church. Mm-mm. I ain't looking at them. I'm looking at me. But while you're looking at them, you're passing judgment on them. So what about you? Just stop it. Come worship the Lord. And, you know, I think after I left, I had, I think it was, well, to be honest, after I left, I still popped up at church. I was like, what? It ain't about nobody else. It's about me. I'm not taking a vacation. It's about me. I don't care who you are. I don't care. You know, people take a break. I'm hurt. No. God, I need you. I need you. Oh, my God. Yeah, I have mismatched shoes. The colors didn't match, but let me tell you, what matched was the Lord. Girl, I tell you, when you want to be healed, I'm like, Hannah, oh, my God. Oh, excuse me of being drunk. I ain't drunk. I'm just a woman of sorrowful spirit, Lord. Let me tell you, but it's a good thing when you can rejoice and just know that God is just so faithful. I know Blog Talk Radio was getting ready to cut you off. I just want to say I'm so excited about my guest on today. Thank you all for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. You can hop on Facebook. We're on Facebook under Hope Victorious. But I just want to say to you, Yolanda, you are so awesome, powerful woman of God. I praise God for your healing and for your restoration. And, you know, and I know God is going to use you greatly. I know everyone that was listening was so blessed and just and begin to heal and begin to allow God to heal you. Allow God to heal your wounds, you know, whether it's from a workplace, family member told you that you wasn't nothing, counted you out, but God counted you in. People want to be in a popular club. No, let me be in God's popular club. I want to be in his popular club. You know, so allow God to heal you and strengthen you. You know, if it's a relationship, you know, toxic relationship, pray and ask God, what's your next move? How to heal you, protect you in the midst of that. Go seek counseling. There's nothing wrong with counseling and therapy and to talk things out and marriage counseling. And, you know, go before the Lord and just seek him. And don't be angry with God because it didn't work out for you. It's not working out because it ain't over till God says that it's over. Amen. So I know my mom, Liddy Martin, said something. Let me see. Can I? I don't know. Can I read that? She said, that's who said Liddy Martin. Sometimes church folk would turn their heads from other people. Mm-hmm. Issues. How can they not see? Yeah, you right. Got that right, Mom. Hi, Mary. Amen. Yeah. So I just, is anything else that you wanted to add, Yolanda, before we close out on today?
I just want to encourage, just put God first.
Yeah.
Put God first. He will not disappoint you. When no one else will listen, just begin to get still and scream and holler, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But also make sure your business hat on too.
Mm.
Don't put yourself in a situation where you can lose your life. The Lord said, trust him. He's going to provide you the resources to do what you need to do. That's it.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Thank you all for joining with Coffee with Me on this morning. I'm here sipping on my coffee. Coffee with Me. So join me every Tuesday. You got your mug too, Yolanda? Yes. Coffee with Me every Tuesday. I'm here at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, and 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And God bless you all. You can always email me at hopevictorious2@gmail.com or visit my Hope Victorious page or Instagram. Got TikTok, you name it, it's all there. So I'll put all your Yolanda's handles in. Thank you all for joining in on today. God bless you. We are flooded on today. And thank you, Yolanda, for just opening up and willing to share, you know, your journey and how God healed you, and that God is a healer and a restorer. And I'm glad that you said about seeking God. Seek God, you know, and build your relationship up with him, because that's the only thing that got me through. As much as my parents and my sisters and my family members prayed for me, God is the one who healed me and showed up. He healed me, but it was their prayers too. But God showed, let me tell you, I was clinging to God. Like every move I was making, it was me and God. We was bumping into each other. It was me and God, because that's how I was. Yeah, I was not. And when I seen your picture, my mom sent that to my DM on Instagram. Girl, when I tell you, oh my gosh, how God just restored you, and it just looked like me. I just not here, but not here, you know. And then how God restored, and He's a restorer. I'm a believer of marriage. I love marriage. You know, I know this time around it will be great. Yes, we will have our ups and downs, but I'm believing God that this time, I know it's going to be great this time. So, I'm not a woman scorned, but I do understand the woman who's scorned.
I've always believed in love.
That has
never wavered.
Never wavered. I know that is right. That has never wavered. I'm with you on that one. I believe in love. No, oh my God, I do. So God, because God is love. He is so much love. So God bless you all on here. Thank you all for tuning in, and I'll go back and I'll read your comments a little later. And God bless you all, and thank you for being here. And I'll put your social media handles in 1 minute, you guys. I'll go back on the chat, and you can revisit and watch the replay. Share the replay and bless somebody on today. I know this is not the last time on here, sis. Maybe we can go over to Instagram next. But God bless you. Yes. Yes, y'all, we can go into Instagram next and reach those on Instagram. So God bless you. And what did you say, Mom? Let me see. Oh, Mom, and thank you for reading her bio on Mom this morning. My mother is my assistant. And let me tell you, you can't sleep on Mom. She is my assistant, and she be on it. Yes, so God bless you, everybody, and have a good day.
Bye.
Oh, you know, did we pray out? No, we did. Oh, my God. I know God, like, woo, get it together. Oh, my God, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you and I bless you. I thank you for this broadcast on today. I thank you for Yolanda Barnes on today, God. I thank you for her tenacity, her zeal, Father. I thank you for the power that you have bestowed upon her, God. I thank you, God, for keeping her in her right mind, for saving, delivering, and restoring, God. I thank you for those who have joined us on YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, God, who those who have watched the replay. God, we ask that, God, you would send healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Send restoration, God. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins, that we may have everlasting life. You said by word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son, Jesus, from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name. And touch those that's on this call right now, God. Touch Aunt Pearly, God, who's in a rehab, God. Send healing to Marley Hardy, God. And for those on this prayer line, on this here line on today, Father God, who need prayer, God, Lord, you know everybody on this call. You said every hair on our head is numbered. We thank and we glorify you, and keep us safe. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So go in peace. Know that God is on your side. Hope in God, and know that you are victorious. God bless.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to close out here. Okay. Yeah, I think we off now, Yolanda. So God bless you, honey, and thank you. I tell you, God used you mightily. Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God, Yolanda. God used you. God bless you.